Morning, everybody.
Morning.
There's a picture of my lips on the screen now.
Yay!
You like them? Lipstick, bit of lippy. No, I'm not partial to lipstick myself, actually, which is a good thing. Yes. Okay. Could we have some of the scriptures up on the all of them on the screen, please, Angus? There they are. So if you want to follow along, save me waiting for you. You can be ahead of me. And that's where we're going. Not in that order, mind you. It's, Matthew's going to be the last one. So you need to get yourself to Acts chapter 1, first of all. So it's in reverse order, basically.
That's how you gave it to me, sir.
Is it? Blame me, then. Fine. Okay. So the message and this series is being called Talking Jesus. Okay, so that's right. Say that again, Darren.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. All right. We're talking Jesus. Now, you wonder to yourself, well, that could open up a whole series of messages. But specifically, it's going to be in reference to Christians and their witness. So hopefully we're all prepared to be a little bit challenged.
Yeah.
There was some research done. I'm going to be bringing some stats from the research that was done. It was done by the Church of England, the Evangelical Alliance, and HOPE, if you've heard of those organisations. They're a bunch of good guys. And they had a big old powwow up in the northwest of England, in Cumbria. Loads of church leaders there. In fact, I think Pastor Clive was there as well. And they were just discussing the effectiveness of the church upon the nation, the effectiveness of the church's witness to the nation, and what it is when people were talked to about Jesus by followers of Jesus, what the response was. And some of it is a bit painful, the reading, but the truth hurts. And also the truth sets us free, doesn't it? All right. So it brings change. Okay. So I'm just going to read out a little bit of a paragraph. What do people in this nation know and believe about Jesus? What do they really think of us, his followers? Are we talking about Jesus enough? And when we are we drawing people closer to him or further away? Good questions. Okay, so here's some stats for you. 25% of 18 to 34-year-olds believe Jesus was a mythical or a fictional character. That's quite shocking, isn't it, really? That would suggest to me that the church as a whole, and if we want to bring it down here, we're a microcosm of the church, we have been a failure to be salt and light. Now, there's a guy, apparently, who is a futurologist. Ever heard of that? That's the first time I've ever heard of it. But anyway, it kind of projects what might well happen in the future if things carry on going the way they are. Dr. Patrick Dixon, chairman of Global Change, he warned that the gathering of danger of institutional blindness, and he was talking specifically about the church being blind institutionally to the fact that we're not witnessing to people, or people haven't got a clue what Jesus is really all about. Is that something that could be labelled upon us as a people? I don't know. We know our hearts. So we've got to be careful that we don't fall into that trap of being institutionally blind. Okay? Right, on the other hand, one in three people felt more positive about Jesus after talking to a Christian. I think that's quite encouraging. Yeah, I think that's quite encouraging. All right. We are told in the Bible, isn't it, that the road that we're on is a narrow road, and the road that leads to destruction is a broad road. But we've got to make sure that people have the choice to be able to choose whether they want to follow Christ or not follow Christ. They need to know what the choices are. Okay, it's good, isn't it? When you, if you go into a restaurant and you want to choose a meal, you're given a load of choices. It's good to have a choice rather than say, everyone's having chili con carne tonight, because I'll be walking out of the place straight away. Do you know what I mean? People need to have a choice whether they want to follow Jesus or not. And they need to have that choice made to them very clearly. All right, so 44% of practicing Christians credit friends for introducing them to Jesus. 44%, that was actually the highest percentage of things that brought people to Christ. 41% of practicing Christians attribute their faith to growing up in a Christian home. So that takes a whole chunk of people, isn't it? Friends and family bringing people to church. That's a massive chunk of Christianity, if you like. Bottom line, too many people have not heard the gospel. Okay, now there's a whole load of difference between knowing that there's a church that meets down the road and it's full of nice people. All right, we need to be telling people what the gospel is, not just kind of being a building where lots of people meet on a Sunday morning. There's a big difference. Yeah? Yeah, good. All right, so what did Jesus have to say about this kind of stuff? We're going to turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. Again, very familiar verses, but powerful stuff. So, when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Now, I'm kind of suspecting when they're asking that question that, they're kind of rubbing their hands together. Is it time yet? Is it time yet, Lord? You know, are we going to get a seat at the big table when you're ruling the kingdom of Israel and the rest of the world is bowing down? You know, are we going to be there, your 12 apostles? Because, hey, that is going to be a good time for us. And this is what Jesus replied. He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And they did. And they were. Okay. So, when the Spirit comes, you will receive power. And why do we receive power? To use it, and specifically, and you will be my witnesses. All right, so Jesus' commission for the power was that we would be witnesses. I would like to say that that is the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit, why he was given to us, so that we would be his witnesses. Otherwise, he would have said, I say, you become a Christian, come up to heaven, let's go. You know, we're here to be witnesses, guys. And I think we've forgotten that, or we like to put it to the back of our mind, or we like to think, well, let's just do this, let's do that. But God has left us here on earth and not translated us to heaven so that we could be witnesses. We could tell people about Jesus. All right. He could have added to the disciples, by the way, this is going to cost you your lives. Then you can shout after that. All right. But he didn't. Anyway. So I want us to declare now, the Holy Spirit has given me the power to be a witness to Jesus.
The Holy Spirit has given me the power to be a witness to Jesus.
Well remembered. Declare this as well. I've got the power.
I've got the power.
I could do a song right now. I can't do the dance though. Sorry about that. All right. Now, I could carry on, you know. You could say to the devil, get off my back or I will attack. And you don't want that. you like that one? All right. All joking aside, that was a song for you who are over a certain age or under a certain age. But anyway, all joking aside, each of us needs to take responsibility, all right? Each of us, that is, without exception, we need to take up our responsibility because we have received power to be a witness to Jesus. When you're a witness in a courtroom, all right, what do they say? Okay, what did you see? What did you witness? We want to know what it is that you witnessed. And you say, well, this is what I saw. This is how it happened, all right? So that's what we do. We tell people, you know, this is what happened to me when I became a Christian. This is how I became a Christian. Jesus changed my life in this way. You know, that's what a witness is. It just testifies to somebody about what happened to them. All right. Now, it would be lovely, wouldn't it, to have that Darth Vader anointing whenever you're talking to a non-believer and they start to disrespect you, start to dish you, and you say, I find your lack of faith disturbing, you know. But, you know, God hasn't given us that kind of power. Okay, he hasn't given us that kind of power. He's given us the power of persuasion, the power of the truth. And the truth separates, it says, you know, the truth is like a sword. It divides between soul and spirit. And so some people don't like it when you start talking about spiritual things because they realize that maybe they fall short of what God has got for them, or they don't really want to follow Jesus. They just want to carry on living their own kind of selfish life, etc., etc. And other people start to think, yeah, I can see what you're saying, you know. I realize that what you're saying is absolutely true. Some people say, I realize what is true, but I don't really want to pay the cost. And yet there's other people who will say, yeah, I realize what you're saying is true, and I want to follow this way. I want to become a disciple of Jesus. Yeah? So, yeah, don't try the Darth Vader thing. It's not going to work for you. All right. I'm an electrician, and my work colleagues often say to me, Steve, have we got any power? We got any power yet? Because I've got to turn the stuff off. Health and safety and all that, you know. When you're working on electrics, you need to work on it when it's dead, as opposed to live, because it's not good. Otherwise, you might end up dead. All right? But I want to tell you, we are never cut off from God's power. All right? Now, we can quench the spirit, yeah. We can crush the spirit, the Bible says. We can keep him locked inside. Excuse me whilst I sort out my attire. I'm not going to say get undressed on tape because tape? I know I did. What's that one it's all about? All right, I've just taken my jumper off for those who are listening and it's stopped there. All right. We are never cut off from God's power. All right. But we mustn't keep the power of God locked inside. Must not keep the power of God locked inside. You know, when you think electricity, it's there. It's there for you. What you got to do is plug in, turn the switch on, and use the item which you want to use. All right? The world cannot afford for us to keep the power inside. We've got to get the power out from us.
Yeah.
Our good news message can be a bit in your face. Like I said, your life is heading in the wrong direction. But I have an exclusive answer for you. It's Jesus. People don't like to hear that today, nowadays. They like to, oh, no, you've got to be pluralistic. Is that the right word? You've got to kind of like be all embracing, all roads lead to heaven and all that. And they actually, no, they don't. It's Jesus, you know. Yeah. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. It's tight, but it's right.
Yeah.
It goes down one of two ways. All right. All right. My story, my brother, Uncle Bri, he said to me, fancy coming along to church. He wanted me to come along to a thing called a good news club. It was at a Pentecostal church in glorious Gloucester. I thought, yeah, why not? You know, Tuesday night, what else is there to do on a Tuesday night? Let's get along to the good news club. And there was a guy there called John Clack, and he was there saying, Jesus could come tonight. And I'm there, oh. Okay. And he was saying, and if he did, if you don't know Jesus, you will be left behind. And I go, oh yeah. You know, he's kind of speaking to everybody, but you know, I think looking back, he was probably speaking to me and my mate because we were the new kids on the block, you know. And we were sat there. So if anybody wants to become a Christian tonight, they can become a Christian. My brother volunteered, me and my mate. And he kind of prayed with us at the end, and you know, like you do, and we said a prayer ourselves, and he was just starting to talk to us about Jesus, what he'd done for us, and the difference that he could make to our lives, etc. And nobody had ever told me that before. If they did, I hadn't really heard it. But that night, I heard it. Maybe for the first time properly, I heard it. To me, yeah, God was real, but he was never personal. You know, I was just 12-year-old kid who wanted to have fun, you know. But I was confronted with this message, if you like, and I needed somebody to fill the blanks in for me. That Jesus died for me because I'd sinned, I'd fallen short, I'd missed the mark that God had set for people. And I realised that, yeah, I'd done bad things, been a bit naughty now and again. And I needed God to forgive me for the things that I'd done wrong. And you hear things like, God has a purpose for your life. And I can honestly say that that's where it began for me. All right, my faith, if you like, was ignited that night. I can't say that everything transformed. It wasn't really until I was 18 when I started to take God seriously. But something of the power of God from that fella, John Clack, impacted my life. You know, he was a witness. He was a witness to say what God had done for him. And the power of that impacted my life. So that now, here I am today. All right. So, it wasn't rocket science. Somebody brought me and somebody spoke to me about Jesus. And then I believed. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through to 39. This is Phil. Phil the evangelist. And a few things have happened now in the book of Acts. And here's the story. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south. That would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? An angel of the Lord appears to you. Down to the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and there he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace. I think it says Candace in other versions, does it not? The queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk beside the carriage. Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading? The man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and to sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as the lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with that same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? That's quick work, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't it? They're fantastic. Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. How good is that? How good is that? So, I mean, what an introduction to faith that guy had. This bloke turns up, gives him the good news, baptizes him, and then he disappears. Boom. Wow. What a story. Anyway, so first of all, there was an angel. Like I say, that yeah, that would be nice. But then the Spirit speaks to Philip. That's even better. Let me tell you, that's the same Holy Spirit that we've received. The same Holy Spirit. All right. So Phil met the fella where he was, and started from that same scripture. So it's given us some clues here. How can we share our faith? How can we be a witness? Well, let's start from the point where people are at. Yeah. So there he was, the Ethiopian. Start where people are. Meet people where they are. Yeah. And hey, use scripture. Scripture is powerful. Very convenient that he was reading scripture, of course, but you can use scripture in your witness, because it is a very powerful weapon. It's God-breathed stuff, and it's a lot more powerful than just our words. So he didn't go off at a tangent. He didn't talk about his Samaritan revival meetings, etc. He started exactly where the fellow was at. God used Phil to fill the blanks in this fellow's life. Okay, we need to empathize with people. Do you know what empathize means? That's good. Do it then. Right. Okay. Are they struggling with the kids? Are they lonely? Are they in need of evidence so that they've got something to base their faith on? Are they wanting prayer, etc.? You know? Tell them the good news about Jesus. That's what Philip did. He told them the good news about Jesus. He didn't say, come to church, we have nice coffee, you can have a biscuit at the end, and sometimes you get a chocolate one as well. You know what I mean? Told them the good news about Jesus. That's the news that we're to tell. Yeah. All right. He's the one who leaves them rejoicing on their way. Let me tell you, the devil would like us to stay quiet. He wants to destroy the church. All right. He does his best to. But I suppose he would be happy enough with damage limitation. You know, he'd kind of come to you saying, nice Christians. You're nice Christians. Stay comfortable. You're doing well. Singing nice songs, mate. Yeah. Yeah. You just stay going to church. Oh, what a lovely Christian you are. We like you, Christian. Shh. Shh. Be quiet, though. Don't tell people about God. You know. Shh. Shh. Just keep on doing what you're doing. It's all right. You know, you've got a nice building. You know. Just don't disturb the status quo, all right? Everything's cool. All right. But it's not. All right, it's great, like I say, that we have nice coffee and that we are good people. We are nice Christians, if you like. But we need to be snatching people away from darkness.
Yeah, come on.
We do, all right. We need to be salty and lighty, not nicey. Okay. All right, bottom line, 400 people are not magically going to appear in this place.
That's right.
We're going to have to go and get them, yeah?
Yeah.
Hence why Jesus told us to go. Of course, when Jesus said go, what he meant was go. Right. God gave us the power for a reason, to be a witness. It's our primary function. When we speak to people, that's when the power flows. Yeah? You're given the power to be a witness. So, if you're not witnessing, the power is not going to flow. If you are witnessing, the power is going to flow.
Yeah?
Not rocket science. All right. When we do wage war on the kingdom of darkness, when we do witness, we're waging war on the kingdom of darkness. Yeah? And if you don't believe me, you can read the book of Acts and see the kind of things that happened when the apostles went into different cities. All kinds of things just started kicking off. All they were doing was telling people about Jesus. But there was kind of riots, and they were chucked in jail, and they were beaten up and stoned and all those kind of things. You know, we declare war on the enemy when we start to witness, and he doesn't like it, and that's good. Okay, how long are we going to need to boot up the old Winston Churchill stuff? He's going to point at Matt, because we're going to go for that now. See, I need some words from a wartime leader, all right, that I found rather inspiring, so hopefully you will as well. And I've just kind of given it a bit of preamble now, so we're ready to go whenever you're ready.
Should be good.
Let's go. Spoken by Winston Churchill, 1940. He'd just come to power, okay? War. They were at war. And guys, we're at war as well.
Yeah.
You know, if we can't see that, then we are guilty of having institutional blindness. All right. Church, we are at war. It's a spiritual battle, yeah? It's not physical, it's not with bombs, it's not with guns, it's not with knives. But, you know, some of the words that he used there, absolutely fantastic, and we can swing it around and we can use that for ourselves as well. You know, without victory, there is no survival, not for the British Empire, but for the church. You know, we've got to be victorious in the way that we start to witness. If we don't see victory in our witness, there's no survival. The church will dwindle, and the church will seek to be. I know Brian, Pastor Lynn there in Turkey at the moment, once upon a time, that was a Christian nation.
Yeah.
98% now Islamic.
Yeah.
You know, those churches that you read about in the book of Revelation, they were all in Turkey. You know, but they're an oppressed people now, the Christians over in Turkey. You try and evangelize over there, and you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
All right? We got to realize that we are actually in a spiritual battle, and it's a real war, And it's a real spiritual foe that we are fighting. And we've got to fight, if you like, by sea, land and air. I'm taking liberties a bit, but I'm looking at the sea and I'm thinking it's water, symbolic for my illustration of the Holy Spirit, yeah? The Holy Spirit is often referred to as water. All right, so we need the Holy Spirit in our battle for human hearts. We can't convince people by human argument, okay? We need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to be able to speak to people, okay? So if you're Spirit-filled, you have that power available. And if you're not Spirit-filled, you haven't. That's just what the Bible says. You know, the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. So, if you're not filled with the Spirit and you want to be, see us afterwards, and we'll get that sorted. That's the royal we, okay? the rest of us, we've got to stir up the Spirit that's inside of us for our primary function, which is witness. So, Jesus did nothing until he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. All right. Sin and the devil has darkened people's minds. We need the Spirit's power to break through that darkness with the light that he brings. Yeah, it's only the Holy Spirit that can turn the lights on. That's what we were praying about this morning in the morning prayer meeting. Okay. Like it or not, we're God's conduit. We're his power line. Yeah, we can't afford to be silent. Without victory, there is no survival. I thought that really kind of spoke to me. Right, by land, what do we do? By land. Well, to me, that's kind of stepping out in boldness and talking to the people that we can see, talking to the people that we work with, talking to the people that are our neighbours, talking to the people that are our friends, talking to the people that are our family. All right, it's no good waiting for Billy Graham. He's in high demand and he's fully booked. All right, you've got to do it yourself. I've got to do it myself. I am preaching to myself this morning, by the way, just in case you were wondering. All right, we've got to do it scared if we must, you know. If you're scared about doing it, do it scared. All right, but we're in a real battle. Pray for boldness like the disciples did. They prayed for more boldness so that they might be able to proclaim the message even when they were under threat. Okay, and by air. Now, this one I'm thinking of is prayer. Prayer is a mighty weapon from on high. We can pray down the barriers that there are to God. Pray for refined consciences and for an awakening to God. Prayer is such a powerful weapon that God has given us for evangelism. Right? Jesus promised to reward us for the prayer in the secret place. Do you pray for those who are non-Christians? Do you pray for those of who are backslidden, members of family, etc.? Okay, you're probably thinking, yes, yes, I do. I probably don't pray enough, but yeah, I do that. Yeah. Okay, let's keep on doing that. Yeah, let's keep on praying. And let's pray harder and stronger and pray with faith as well. Because God will reward our prayers. Give God no rest. You know, he actually says that in the Bible. Give me no rest, you people that that cry out to me. Give me no rest until you see what you want to see. Ask and it shall be given to you, all right? If we believe whatever we've asked for in prayer, it's going to be ours, says Jesus. I think that's pretty awesome. It should be done for you by my Father in heaven, you know? If we just meet God in faith. Nothing shall be impossible with God. Luke 1:37. All right, so if we go with the statistics that we've got within this little pamphlet from the research that was done all around the country and from a whole group of people. It says that 1 in 3 may receive your message positively. All right, like I say, there's nothing new. And what I'm saying to you is don't stop. All right, if you get rebuffed a few times, don't stop. All right, just because people don't receive it the first time, go to the next person. We look for those who will receive the message positively, yeah? Just like Jesus did. Just like Paul did. Yeah, you read sometimes Jesus, he went into Samaria. The people didn't want to receive him because he was a Jew. And he said, they just walked on by. They went elsewhere and they spoke to the next village. Didn't get upset about it. He said to Peter and John, nope, we're not going to be calling down fire on these guys. Let's just move on. Move on to the next ones. All right. So some don't listen and some do, all right? Like I say, we got to give them the message. The message is precious, yeah? And some people are going to believe it, and they have the privilege to believe. All right, here's a brutal truth that we need to come to. Our friends and our family are enemies of God until they're allied to Jesus. Think about it. Think about it. It's what the Bible has to say. There's no neutrals in this war, yeah? It's like in the Second World War. There were certain countries that decided they were going to stay neutral and get rich from it all. But there's no neutrals in this war, guys. All right? We're either for God or against him. And that's the way it is for our friends and for our family as well. It's a hard truth, that, isn't it? Okay. When you're fishing for men, don't be surprised if some want to stay in the water where they are. Okay? It's okay. Keep on fishing. God says he loves his enemies. Yeah? That's why we evangelize. Yeah, we're to love our enemies. I believe that God loves his enemies too. Otherwise, he wouldn't ask us to do it. That's why he says we need to be reached. Now, once upon a time, we were enemies of God. You know, when we came to Jesus, that's when he became our friend. We were no longer enemies, but we became sons. That's the way it is, guys. Witness and do not get discouraged. Keep going and going. And shake the dust off if people don't want to receive your message. That's what Jesus said. You know, if someone doesn't receive the message, shake the dust off your feet. That's what the Jews used to do when they left the Gentile territory. Oh, I'm leaving a Gentile country now. I don't want it. And that dust and that pagan dust on my feet, I'm shaking it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. All right. That's what we've got to do. And move on to the next one. Seems like a silly question, but what message are Christians bringing? I'm going to read another little excerpt from this little booklet here now. And it's entitled, Some Have Never Had a Conversation About Jesus. More than half of the non-Christians, 54%, who know a Christian, have not had a conversation with this person about their faith in Jesus. Two-thirds, 64%, of 45 to 54-year-olds who know a practicing Christian say they have never had a conversation with any practicing Christian about their faith in Jesus. Wow. You know, it's all very well saying, you know, people knowing that we're Christians, is that a Christian, they go to church, isn't that nice? You know, that's just where it's going to stop. You know, sometimes I think we like to think, oh, yeah, if I tell them I'm a Christian, they're going to start asking me all about it. You know, they're going to ask me, what must I do to be saved? You know, but you find out that doesn't happen. I don't know whether you've ever noticed that. I know I have, you know. No one's ever said, ah, you're a Christian, are you? Tell me the road of salvation, please. You know, yeah, wouldn't that be nice? You know, wouldn't that be nice? But that's not the way it happens, all right? The power is in the message about Jesus. Like I say, it's not enough just to tell us that we are nice Christian people and we like to be nice. All right. Sorry about that, all right? We've got to get a bit bolder. Perhaps we've got to get a lot bolder. When people ask for prayer, you say, sure, but did you know that you could pray to God yourself? All you got to do is to know Jesus, and then you can ask him for yourself. You know, all these kind of things that we can do if we're just a little bit bolder and speak out for Jesus and give them the message. Some of us, you know, we can get a word when we're in church, can't we? So, yeah, I believe God's saying this. Well, why can't we do that when we're with our non-Christian friends and relatives, etc.? Isn't that what Jesus did when he was in Samaria? There was the woman came to him at the well. Give me some water. And then he starts talking to her, gets words of knowledge about her. You know, he did the same with Zacchaeus, you know. And we're supposed to be copiers of Jesus, are we not? Yeah. Imitate the faith of Jesus. Why don't we do that for non-Christians as well? Why don't we start to pray that? God, start to give me some words for the people that don't know you, as well as the people that do know you. They probably need it more than we do. In fact, they do. Do you know what I mean? Right. So the stats say that witness is most effective or successful, shall we say, when used with friends and family and when the Bible is used in it, and also when we bring people to church. Go figure. All right. We don't need to be afraid of the world or the people of the world. if we want to be a little bit more precise about it. Right, they're our target audience, and I don't know where we find out, but most of them don't bite when you talk to them about Jesus. All right? Let's not be afraid to talk to people just because perhaps we might think it might make me a bit unpopular, or they might think I'm a weirdo. Hey, you are a weirdo, just get used to it. You know, get out there and tell people about Jesus. Right. Start with what you have in common. Like Jesus when he was at the well. What did they have in common? Not a lot, but they both needed some water. Yeah, give me some water. She came for water, Jesus wanted water. That's about the only thing he had in common with her. There she was. One, she was a woman, and you weren't supposed to kind of chat to women in those days. And she was a Samaritan woman, which was even worse. She was a Johnny Foreigner woman. And not only that, she was a loose Johnny Foreigner woman. Do you know what I mean? Jesus wasn't afraid to speak to her. Whatever barriers there were, he just cut through them all. Yeah? And he met them at the point of need, and she became a very powerful witness to Jesus. Come and see a man who told me everything that I've ever done in my life. I never met the guy before. And they all came streaming out of the Samaritan village to see this bloke who she was chatting to at the well. And many Samaritans believed because of what she had to say. Fantastic, yeah? So you don't need a degree. You don't have to have been a Christian for years. You can be a powerful witness wherever you are, wherever you're at. Just tell them what Jesus has done for you. Okay, so we need to start asking Jesus, how can I be friends with someone or someone's who don't know you? Give me inroads into people's lives. You know, hopefully in our outreach meetings, on our Tuesdays, on our Wednesdays, Fridays, etc. When we've got people coming into this building, we're not just kind of like letting them get on with it, but we're befriending people, yeah? We've got to befriend people. Make people friends, because it's friends who talk to other friends who then become Christians. Statistically, that's the greatest number of the people that there are within the church. So becoming friends with people works. So let's do that. Let's do what works. You know, let's not fight against what works already. Yeah, let's go with what works. And we'll find out that it's going to work for us. Another great statistic in there was that people came to know Jesus when they came to church. How many people have we invited to church lately? Good question, huh? Think about it. You know, how many people have we invited to church lately? There may be some of you say, well, I've invited loads. They've just said no. Like I would say to you, keep going. But for some of us, you know, it was a challenge to me as well, you know. That's a good question. How many people have I invited to church lately? You can tell them, start at 10:30, finishes at 12. You know, get them into church, get them into the presence of God, because things happen in the presence of God. People's lives get changed in the presence of God. Awesome things happen in the presence of God, like we was hearing at Faith Camp. All right, friends, family, Bible, church. You know, let's go for that which gets the best results. Quote from J. John, an evangelist guy. Great guy. We've had plenty of teaching from him here in the past. We've got to begin to become more intentional in telling our own story. Yeah. All right. It's like God saying something to us, isn't it? It's like he's saying to us, go. He's been saying it for 2,000 years. Go. Go and be a witness. All right. Let's have another little look in the book here, page 24. There's a little bit of good news for us. All right. What this study reveals is that people are far more open than we might realize. After we've had conversations with non-Christians about Jesus, one in five of them is open to finding out more about him. The majority of people in this country still identify themselves as Christian, although they are not practicing. The people who know us like us. That's good, isn't it? They think we are caring, good-humored, and friendly. They're open to us. And they're open to Jesus. So we need to talk about him to more people, more often, and more relevantly. The research shows that so many of us are already talking about Jesus. We are not ashamed of the gospel, despite some of us feeling ill-equipped to talk to our not yet Christian friends and family members about Jesus. So that's some encouraging stuff for us to take away, all right? Let us not stay silent. Quoting Winston Churchill again, our aim is victory at all costs, for without victory There is no survival. So let's go forward together, he said at the end of his speech, with our united strength. You know, let's be united together. When we see a victory, we're going to all rejoice together. Yeah? When somebody gets saved, we all rejoice together. Yeah? And I'm going to finish just by reading our last scripture there, our great commission that Jesus gave us before he left earth. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you, even to the end of the age. Amen. Thanks for listening. Over to you, Faye.